Hallelujah. And we come with our hearts open, receptive, and responsive, and all that stuff I always usually pray. Hallelujah. Here we go. All right. John chapter 13. Got your Bibles with you? If not, he's going to have these verses up on the screen that'll be helpful to you. Or maybe if I read one in a different translation, then it'll be up there too to help you. I think all the ones he's putting up today are a New Living Translation. Amen. So we've been talking about this. We've been on this series. This is our fourth installment of whatever you want to call this, on the love of God. I knew the topic. I just meant whatever this topic, this discussion, lecture, whatever you want to call it. I don't call it a lecture, but what I'm talking about. How's that? Is that better? All right. So anyway, this is the fourth week. We've been talking about the love of God, and we've learned, you know, why is it, we started off with why is it important, you know, what it is, and why is it important, and all these kind of wonderful things, and those things are online. Miss Avery is always so faithful to get those messages online for us, and so those are online. You can listen, go back and listen to them. Go to our website, thedifferencechurch.org, or tdcalbany.org. We've got a new, what do you call it, domain that you can go to make it, you don't have to punch as many letters. Makes it easier for you. TDC Albany, The Difference Church Albany, tdcalbany.org. Anyway, you can go there, go to our media page, and you can listen to what we've said for free, and that'll be a blessing to you. But anyway, John chapter 13, so we've been talking about this love of God and been learning about the love of God. Last week, we talked about how the love of God serves. The love of God serves. And so today, we're going to kind of pick up where we left off there and continue to share a few more thoughts on that. But in John chapter 13, how many know it's possible to walk in the love of God? Not in and of yourself. I mean, because if you try to do everything we're talking about without doing it with the love of God, see, I think for the first week we also talked about the four different kinds of love, right? But we settled up on that the fact that those other kinds of love, you know, the sturgo, which is family love, Eros is, you know, the sexual love, and then phileo is friendship love, like phileo, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, right? They don't act so brotherly right now, but I believe they'll get back there, especially if you mess with their football team. They don't get very brotherly, but anyway, me as a Dallas fan, they do not like Dallas fans up there in Philadelphia. But anyway, the city of brotherly love, right? That's where they got their name. Phileo, but we talked about all these different kinds of love, but they're all selfish kinds of love. They're all love. They're not unconditional. But the love of God, the agape of God, agape is the Greek word for this particular kind of love, and it means unconditional. It means, aren't you? In other words, let's use this scripture. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, or in the KW translation. Ken Willis. A KW translation, it is while we were still broke, busted, and disgusted, right? While we were still in our sin, while we were still messed up in sin, Jesus loved us and he came and gave his life for us. He didn't wait for us to do something to earn it. He didn't go, oh, they finally went to church. Okay, I'm going to love them now. Oh, they finally started reading the Bible. Okay, I'm going to love them now. Oh, they started doing something right. They started doing something good. Okay, now I'm going to love them now. No, Jesus is like, no, Lord, I'll go. Okay, yeah, I realize that you created Adam and Eve, and they yielded to sin, and they kind of brought sin on all humanity, but now they need a Savior. Father, I'll go. I'll go. He didn't have to go, okay, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Michael, Gabriel, I need somebody. Come on, guys, don't go hiding now on me. He didn't have to do that. All had to happen is they had to realize there was a need. And Jesus is like, Father, I'll go. I'll go, and I will go, and I will give my life for them. And I will give my life for them so they can be brought back into fellowship and relationship with you. Because God, I know you, and I know I do not want them to live that way. There is a better life. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus came and he did give his life for us. But here in John chapter 13, let's read about what Jesus said about this love. In verse 34, it says this. Jesus said, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should, just as I have loved you, just as I have loved you, the same way that I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." What's going to prove to the world that we're his disciples? That we love one another just the same way that he loved us. In other words, that means we can love one another without conditions. How many know you can disagree with one another without being disagreeable? You know, maybe you got a couple of guys and they're like, man, one's a Chevy guy. One's a Dodge guy, or not Dodge anymore. One's a Chevy guy, one's a Ram truck guy, right? And one's a Ford guy. And they can get into heated arguments why they think one's better than the other. You can get people and start talking about football and why they think one team's better than the other. And they can get in heated things. But how many know once that conversation is over, you can still be in love with one another. You can still walk in love with one another. You can still be brothers. You can still be sisters. You can still be the family of God. We don't have to argue and get bitter and all that kind of stuff, and contentious, and you don't have to all that. I may not agree with you on everything, but hey, we're still brothers and sisters. We can still fellowship. We can still talk and hang out and enjoy each other's company. Maybe we can't talk about that, but you know what? Here's the thing. This is what the love of God does, is even if you do talk about that, you can still be in love with one another. Right? No, no, be in love. I'm not talking about, I'm so in love with you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about walking in the love of God. The love of God enables you. And here's the beautiful thing about this. The beautiful thing is in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says that God, on the day you gave your life to Christ, he poured his love into you. While you're saying, Father, I just ask you to forgive me for my sins, and Lord, I just want to follow you the rest of my life. While you're doing that, he's pouring. You're saying, God, I want you to be my, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. While you're doing that, he's pouring his love into you. You didn't even know it. You didn't even know it's happening. But when you made the decision to follow Christ, when you made the decision that I'm going to follow Christ, that means I'm going to follow his example. I'm going to do everything I can to live like him, to be like him. While you're doing that, he's pouring. See, so in the spirit, what you might have heard is while you're praying, if you'd have heard in the spirit, you would have heard, because he's just pouring the love, liquid love. His blood shed on that cross that day was liquid love flowing down that tree. It was liquid love flowing down the cross. That's what the blood of Jesus is. It was liquid love. Hallelujah. He says, greater love has no one than one that will lay their life down for their friends. So because he loved and he poured his love into us, he's like, okay, now those other three kinds of love, that ain't going to cut it. You need my love. Because those, and you need to temper those other three with my love. And we talked about that a little bit. I think it was last week or maybe the week before. All right. But John chapter 13 here, he says, "So I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just like I loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." In other words, and we made this statement about this last week, that the love of God is a demonstrated love. And I made this statement last week that you don't love someone because you tell them you love them. Well, how else will they know? Well, how will the world know? Is it just because we go around and say, Jesus loves you, and so do I. Now get the heck out of my way. Hurry up, you're holding me up. You're inconveniencing me. Oh, it doesn't matter what you say. It goes with the old adage, actions speak louder than words. In fact, if you have the right words but the wrong actions, your actions is going to overpower what you said. You're like, man, they don't mean that. I can tell by the way they're acting. But here's the beautiful thing is we got the love of God And like I said, it's like a muscle, right? It's like the love of God is like a muscle. And we get opportunities every day, every week, all day, all week long. We get opportunities that show up that gives us an opportunity to press out another rep. That person starts talking nasty about you. You could respond, but instead you go, nope. It's like Brent said, when we go into the gym, it wants to get in, get his workout done, get out. But what happened? Something came against that, but the love of God in him that cared more about the lady and what she was thinking than he cared about getting his workout done. Now, he could have said, you know, I don't really have time for you right now. Here's my number. Call me if you want to talk later. I got to get my workout done. I'm a busy man. I run a company. I got stuff to do. But no, the love of God in him said, the workout's out the window. If it messes up my workout, it messes up my workout. But what I care about, and I assure you that Brent was not sitting there chomping at the bit, man, why do I have to explain this to this lady? No, his heart. He did it because he enjoyed helping her understand what the scriptures were saying. That's the love of God. He enjoyed that more than he would have enjoyed just getting his workout done. And that's what the love of God does. We're glad to do it. It may be an inconvenience. So what? Do you think Jesus perhaps was inconvenienced for us? Maybe just a little bit? How about a lot? A whole lot, right? It's okay to be inconvenienced. I want God to inconvenience me to communicate his message to the world. I want him to do that. God, I've told him, God, it's okay if you inconvenience me. Because I've said a couple of weeks ago, people need you when they need you, not when it's convenient for you. Right? Amen. All right. Let's look at this. Okay, so the love of God is a demonstrated love. All right? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I love this verse. This is such a good verse. It really describes very much what we're talking about right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15. He says, I will gladly, this is the Apostle Paul. Now, let me set this verse up for you a little bit here. Because Apostle Paul, he's out there and he's starting churches and it's why he's an apostle. He's going and he's starting churches and he's doing all these things for God and he is just going at it. And then some other people, if you study the history of this verse, the other people came in and they began to preach stuff and then the people that were following Paul just kind of kicked Paul to the curb and started following these other people. And doing some other things and everything. Now, some people would go, well, hey, you know what? If you're going to be like that, you just keep on down your happy little trail and don't even bother me ever again. And they write them off. You ever heard of people, it's like, oh, they don't want to be part of my life? I just wrote them off, man. They're out of my life. They're not even in my rearview mirror anymore. I don't even care. Whatever. Do what you want to do. But that wasn't Paul's attitude. Watch this. Paul said this, I will gladly spend my life and all that I have. One translation says, I will spend my life and be spent for you. I will gladly, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15, I will gladly spend myself and all I have for you, even though it seems that the more I love you, the less you love me. And the reason he was saying that to them because at one time they loved him, but then now that something fresh, something new, something different's come in, they bailed on him and went somewhere else. And he says, I will spend my life and be spent. I will spend my life and all that I have for you, even though it seems that the more I love you, the less you love me. That's the agape of God. That's the love of God. That's the unconditional. In other words, Paul's like, man, I love you nonetheless. No matter how you treat me, no matter what you do, I love you. Even though it seems like you're loving me less, I'm going to continue to love you more. Man, that is some serious, serious love. And that's the way we are to love one another. That's the way we are to love one another. See, you can tell when a Christian's really walking in the love of God because it's a happy love. It's a glad to do it love. You got some people to go, oh man, just having to walk in love with this person. This is hard, man. I'm having to sacrifice. You don't realize how much I've had to give up for this. That ain't the love of God. The love of God is like, because what happens, this is why it happens, because when people that talk like that, what they're looking at is how people are responding to them. Man, they don't even act like they appreciate what I'm doing. Can you imagine if pastors acted that way? Unfortunately, some have. But they don't even act like they appreciate me coming in every Sunday. They don't act like they appreciate this and I appreciate that. You know, why don't I even do what I do? We do what we do because we love. And it is a delight to do it. I didn't say it was always easy. I said it is a delight to do it. Why? Because I know that I'm not serving you for you alone. I'm serving you because I'm serving God. Over in 1 John, it says, how can you say you love those? It starts off like this. It says, you say you love God. But the point is, do you really? Because you say you love God, but how can you say you love God in whom you have not seen when you can't even seem to love the people that you do see? See? See, the love of God is selfless. It's not about how people respond. I mean, we can find that out over in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. It's not boisterous. It's not proud and arrogant. Love thinks the best, believes the best, hopes the best. Love endures, right? Hallelujah. All right. So he says here, I will gladly spend myself and all that I have for you, even though it seems that the more I love you, the less you love me. We're right there at Galatians. Go over to Galatians chapter 5. In other words, love serves others with joy. Love serves others with joy. Now let me clear that up, because I'm not saying that walking in love is always easy on your flesh. I'm not saying that the decision to walk in love in a situation is always easy on your mind, because your mind is trying to side with your flesh going, this is irritating, or this is not convenient, or I don't want to have to do this. But the love of God, once you've grown in the love of God, now understand, no matter where you're at, everybody are at different levels. Okay? So if you're here today and you're like, man, this whole love thing is new to me, it doesn't sound appetizing at all. Right? I understand. Guess what? I used to be where you're at. And I'm not saying that I have scaled the mountaintop. I'm still climbing up this mountain. I had an opportunity this week to press another one, but I didn't do it. I didn't press this time. Had a guy kind of attack me in traffic, wanted me to roll my window down. And what I should have done is like, yeah, what can I do for you? What I did is I didn't roll my window down. He kept gesturing things at me, and I'm like, whatever. That was not the love of God. And I missed it. And you know what? It bothered me for days. It bothered me for days because I knew that I did not walk in the love of God. So it bothered me. What I wish I would have done is roll my window down, heard what he had to say, no matter how vulgar or whatever he had to say was. And I should have said, I am so sorry that I bothered you. He said, but what if you were right? Who cares? Love, walking in love is not about being right. It's about walking in love. Right? That would have went so much further. That would have given that guy something to think about. I gave him something to think about for the rest of the day. I mean, I didn't flip him off or anything like that. I don't do that. He did me, but I didn't do that to him. You know, but he left that intersection brewing when I could have responded completely opposite of what he thought I would respond. And I could have just walked in the love of God. Why am I sharing that story? Because none of us always get it perfect. But we are always striving to do better. And if you're saved and you don't get it right, it should bother you. If you cannot walk in the love of God consistently, then either one of two things have happened. Either you're not really saved, because it will bother you, or you've done it so much that you're so callous to it. You know, like callous, it's like you get calluses by friction. You keep handling something over and over and over to now you can stick a pin in it and it don't even hurt because you've become seared or calloused to what God's trying to get you to do. I don't want calluses like that. I don't want those kind of calluses. I want my spirit, my heart to be completely uncalloused to where God, all he has to do is whisper. And I hear him and I do it. And he was doing more than whispering at me at that intersection. And I was like, la, 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 I can't hear you. My flesh is speaking too loud right now. But once I pulled away and got my flesh out of the way, my heart was hearing loud and clear. And I said, Lord, I am so sorry. I have literally been looking for that guy's vehicle all week, hoping for an opportunity to go up here and say, hey, you remember me? And I know. I just want you to know that I'm sorry for the way I gestured you. Because I just brushed him off. I'm like, pfft. You know, that's not the love of God. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like, and then I had this horrible thought after I did that. I drove, I said, oh, sweet Jesus, what if he shows up to church on Sunday? And I wasn't even wearing a mask because I don't wear a mask in my own car. I'm like, oh, Lord, please. Lord, just lead him to a church that'll help him. That say, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry, Lord. Right? All right. Let's go to where have I got you? Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord, for that man's salvation and his forgiveness. Okay, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. Let's look at this. It says, and I think we read this last week, but let's look at it again. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Right? A lot of people think, well, you know, the Lord forgave me, so I can just act however I want, and I can just go and ask him for forgiveness. They say it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. Because you know if you go to God and say, God, can I slap that guy upside the head? He's going to go, no, you can't. Remember, turn the other cheek. Right? Can I tell them what I really think? No, you can't do that. So we don't do that. We just do it, and then we say, Lord, I'm sorry. Right? But that's not the right attitude. No, we, you know. Now, situations like mine, for example, I got caught up in the flesh, got caught up in my emotions, how that guy was making me feel, you know, and I allowed that to rule me. But if I allow that to happen on a consistent basis, I will not walk in victory. And my faith will not work, because faith works by love. You cannot not walk in the love of God and expect your faith to work. This might actually be a big answer to a lot of people's issues. I've been standing, I've been standing and believing, and this doesn't seem like God's doing anything. When you're doing something the Word tells you to do and it's not working, the first place for you to look is not out here. The first place for you to look is right here in your own heart. Say, Lord, what's going on? I learned a long time ago that God is never at fault. Now, that was a day that I got mad at God, and I would yell at him, and then I got smart. Then I realized, wait a minute, I am yelling at God. This does not even make sense. He is very much the only person that can help me in this situation. Why would I do that? And not only that, but I also came to learn how much I need to respect him and honor him. He says, those that honor me, I will honor. So I come to the conclusion a long time ago, God is never at fault. God is the only one that is absolutely perfect. Right? Him, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. They never make a mistake. So if I'm in error somewhere or something, if I'm doing something his word says and it's not working for me, the first thing I do is, Lord, show me where I've missed it. What is it that I'm not understanding? What is it that I'm not getting about what your word says? Because I know that you're perfect and I know that you're right. So help me to know where I've missed it. And man, when I started doing that, I started getting some better answers. And every one of the answers has to do with a change that needs to happen in me. Right? When I began to do things his way, I began to get his results. Right? But he says here, so what's this verse all about then? For you have been called to live in freedom. What kind of freedom? He didn't free us so we could be selfish. He freed us so we could be servants. He set us free so we could help others. Remember what I said last week? I needed rescued. I got rescued. Now my job is to rescue others. I needed saved. I got saved. Now my job is to help save others. See, that's the way God wants it all, for all of us. So he says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, to be selfish. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Use your freedom to serve one another in love. Amen. Let me just share real quickly. I'm not going to have you turn to these. I'm not going to preach on them. I'm just going to share some verses with you. You can jot them down and look them up later if you want. I didn't even give them to him. He's not going to have time to put them up. I'm going to go through them so fast. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 in the King James, it says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities or weaknesses of the weak and not to please ourselves. Isn't that good? Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, New King James. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. In honor, giving preference to one another. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 19. He says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. In other words, that I might get some people saved. I've been freed from all, but I'm not bound by anybody, he says. I'm not bound by anybody, but I've made myself a servant to all that I may win them to the Lord. Isn't that good? All right. Flip pages here. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 33. This is out of the Amplified. Just as I please everyone in all things, as much as possible, adapting myself to the interest of others, not seeking my own benefit, but that of the many, so that they will be open to the message of salvation and may be saved. Isn't that good? 1 Corinthians 10, 24, Amplified. Let no one seek only their own good, but also that of the other person. See how selfless this is? This is the love of God. 2 Corinthians 5:15. Let me get a drink of water. This one's coming out of the New Living Translation. I'll give you a moment to think about those verses I just read for you. All right. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Did you hear that? He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Amen. All right, last one. Here we go. Philippians chapter 2. This is probably the harshest one, but hang with me. Philippians, hard on our flesh is all I mean. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Now, he didn't say that everybody else is necessarily better than you, but we are to think of others as better. We are to treat others as better. In other words, don't think anyone's too below you to serve them. Amen. Verse 4, don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. Isn't that good? Oh my. Now, here's the deal. If any of these verses make you sad, then you've already missed it. Because walking in this kind of love is not a sad love. Did you know that Jesus wasn't sad? They got so many pictures out here of Jesus. He's like, you know, he's like sad and, oh, poor, scrawny, little, skinny Jesus. The dude was a carpenter. Right? And they didn't have all the hoists and everything we got today. So, I mean, the dude carried a big old heavy rugged cross uphill to Calvary. The very one that he ended up getting hung on. By himself. Anytime somebody came up to help him, the soldiers would beat him away. He had to carry it. The dude wasn't scrawny, and he was not sad. Children don't hang around sad people. Why did the children want to come to Jesus? Because he was fun. He was lighthearted. He was happy. Did you know the word Christian means Christ-like? Real Christians are happy Christians. Are you happy? Come on. Hallelujah. Real Christians are happy Christians. Right? Now, I'm not saying if you're a sad Christian that you're not saved. I'm just saying you haven't learned how to walk in the love of God. Right? And you don't quite yet understand it, but that's why we're here. We're all at different levels. So don't feel condemned. We're not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help you come up to where Jesus died on the cross so you could be. Amen? All right, let's look at one more verse and I'm done. Let's go back to the beginning, not Genesis, okay? John chapter 15. Beginning meaning where we started 3 weeks ago. I want you to see that this passage is what spoke it to my heart to even talk about this subject. And this one is one of the reasons why it makes it so important. Okay? Thank you, Lord. All right, John chapter 15. Starting in verse 9, Jesus says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. And before I read any further, I'll remind you what it says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. It says, make love your greatest quest in life. Go after it like it's the most important thing in the world. Why? Because it is. Make it your aim, your great quest, the Amplified says. Make love your aim in life, your greatest quest. Right? All right. So let's finish this. It says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. There's a reason for it. Watch this. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Your joy will overflow. What does verse 13 say? Let me finish verse 12. This is my commandment. Love each other the same way I have loved you. And there is no greater love for one than one that will lay life down for the friends. But I want you to see this right here. He says, remain in my love. Verse 11, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Think about that. Think just for a moment. We're almost done. Think about that. The same joy that dwelled in Jesus, Hebrews chapter 12 says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus knew where he was going and he could still be happy. Why? Because he had a joy that could not be removed. And he says, if you'll remain in my love, I've told you these, I've shared this with you so that my joy will be in you. So it's not a conditional happiness like the world used to. As long as everything's going good, as long as the bills are paid, the kids are not going crazy, husband, the wife's acting all right and everything, we're good. But what if they're not acting right? What if the kids are acting crazy? What if the bills are due and you got laid off? What then? Are we left with just the kind of world? Jesus said, my joy I give you, not the joy that the world has of my peace. My peace I give unto you, not the peace that the world has, but my peace I give unto you. Well, what is that peace based on? It's based on your level of joy. What is your level of joy based on? How much love is in your heart. Love, joy, peace. He put it in that order for a reason, because if you don't realize how much God loves you and you're not willing to release that love to others, you're not going to be able to have peace, a joy. And if you don't have any joy, you can't be at peace. But joy, Bible joy, is a supernatural joy on the inside produced by the love of God that helps you to look at a situation and go, ha ha! You could get up in the morning, the devil could slap you 13 ways before 9 o'clock in the morning, and you could still look at him and go, ha ha, you're defeated, devil. You can't defeat me, and I will not quit. He could do something else to irritate you. Ha ha ha. How many know in the natural you can't do that? In the natural, he slaps you one way, and oh, where'd that come from? Slaps you again. Oh, you hear some other bad news. Oh! This is the worst day ever. But when you've got his love and you've bench pressed that love and you've developed that love and you're walking in love with others, it produces such a joy in you that when the devil says or does anything, you're like, ha! Is that all you got? Your flaming arrows are not near as strong as my shield of faith. Bible says we can take this shield of faith and quench every flaming missile of the enemy, the Amplified says. Hallelujah. That's why this love is so important. That's why we're starting this year learning about the love of God. We're making it our aim, our great quest in life, to learn how to walk in the love of God. And if you're here and you're like, oh, this is new to me, I've heard the term, but I never really knew what it meant. Hang in there. It's okay. We all have to grow. I didn't like it when I first heard it either. I'd just rather slap somebody upside the head. Tell them what I really thought about the situation. But then when I learned that, but by doing that, it's hindering my faith. The things I'm believing God for and wanting God's help with, it hinders that. Right? So I'm like, Lord, teach me to walk in your love. And you know what I found? I found walking in his love, it produces so much more peace. It produces so. And see, in that intersection, that story I told you about that happened to me this week, if I would have just pulled up and he would have said something, and I'd have run, yes, sir, what'd you need? And he would have said something, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bother you. You know what? I would have driven away from that intersection with a whole lot more peace. I didn't have to be right. I don't know exactly what his beef was. You know, I don't. But something was agging, because as I drove by him, he's giving me a different finger, right? I wasn't going to do it in front of you, but, you know, right? He's giving me the finger. And so I already knew, that's why I didn't roll my window down, because I already knew he was irritated about something. I was like, oh, I don't want to hear this. You know, but what I could have done instead of just, I could have rolled my window down. I'm sorry. Whatever it is I did that irritated you, I am really sorry. Please forgive me. And I wouldn't have been for days looking for his vehicle, wishing I could make it better. Why? Because if I would have walked in love, it would have produced a joy in me, and I would have had a whole lot more peace. Amen. So I'm telling you, learning to walk in the love of God is going to take you places that you never thought was possible. Amen? Amen. Did you guys get anything out of this today? Oh, yeah. Go ahead and stand up on your feet. I know I'm a